ago. Phil Henry.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch. Where the debut of the Phil Henry one-man show is in the offing, and you will be able to, we hope, see it live, because we have got plans to send this thing across the country like a bad flu bug. Now, that's not...
That doesn't work.
Think of something better than that.
Well, you know, like a Powerball. Never mind. So anyway, it'll be a one-man show. It is debuting this year. We certainly are hoping.
Oh, now it's this year.
Yeah, it was going to be in the spring. Now it's this year.
This spring. I'm sorry, I said this year because it's going to send you guys off on a tangent. This spring. And, of course, we invite you to join us at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. Access thousands of hours of audio, great radio shows from the original Phil Henry Show, except no substitutes. Now, I got to tell you something, and I mean this, and Margaret and I were having an argument about this.
Well, it's not an argument. I can't believe you said what you said.
I said that if I had it to do over again, and all of the shenanigans and stuff that we've done down through the years, I would have done it the way Alex Jones does it. Alex Jones is my hero. I don't want anybody to get any idea that I don't like Alex Jones. I mean, I know I've taken exception to some of the things, but the fact of the matter is, the guy is fantastic. And I'm not being sarcastic.
You don't really mean it.
I do mean it. I do mean it. Because I think Alex Jones knows that a lot of the stuff that he is plugging is kind of hooey, but he's a showman. He is a showman in the grand tradition of P.T. Barnum, all of them, man. People often say to Phil Henry, well, you're kind of like one of those guys. No, I'm not, because I always told people what it was that I did. I'd say, like Don Rickles, you know, used to say, there was a point in Don Rickles' career where they said to him, you know, you need to go out on stage when you're done and tell people you're just kidding. Otherwise, people are going to think you're a real horse's ass. And he did. And, of course, there are those like me that wished he never did. And there's a lot of people that wish I would not cop to the things that I've done down to the years. They wish that I would have kept that more secret. But I didn't. And you know what? I regret it.
You regret having respect for your audience.
That's not having respect for my audience.
Why not?
Because it's treating my audience like they're stupid. It's treating the audience like they're stupid. Now, I did it because a lot of people advised me to do that because they said, well, you know, Phil, it'll be good. I suppose, but I should have gone at it a whole different other way. I should have gone at it the way Alex Jones goes at it, man. And that is this. I should have used the characters to promote like really legitimate stuff, you know, and really take a legitimate stand on this and sell books and sell CDs. I'm not putting down Alex Jones. You got to understand. People think that I'm being sarcastic. I'm not at all, man. He is in the finest tradition of broadcast entertainment and showmanship. And I don't care if he's getting into it with Piers Morgan or it doesn't make any difference to me if he thinks 9/11 truth. Because the only people that are actually going to take him seriously with 9/11 truth, forgive me for saying this, are not very bright, or they're mentally disturbed, or they're paranoid or something. You can't be all there if you take what Alex Jones is saying seriously. Now, you tell me, you think he's serious? I know there's a lot of people who listen to his show and say, oh, that cat, he can't, you know, he believes it, Phil. You don't understand. No, you don't understand. No, I get it. You don't understand. And I don't believe that, you know, like Bud, you were saying you think I'm hurting what he's doing.
Yeah, you're going to tell everybody he's kidding. You're going to let everybody in on it and stuff.
No, it's not going to hurt. Even he understands that Phil Henry sitting here sort of rapping about what he does, it's not going to hurt him. Because the people that believe the stuff he says, they ain't going to understand what I'm saying. Man, I might as well be speaking freaking Greek. You know, the only people that understand what I'm talking about right now already sort of agree with what I'm saying, which is the following thing. Alex Jones is a showman. He knows that what he's talking about is, for the most part, a load. The stuff that is not a load is probably stuff that you would get a 50-50 read on from the general public. Like, you know, for instance, the Kennedy assassination. So I'm like, well, you know, maybe, maybe not. I don't think you have to be nuts, for instance, to think that Kennedy was killed by a, you know, that, that Kennedy was killed as the result of a conspiracy between a number of people.
You don't think that's crazy?
I don't think it's as crazy. I don't think it's anywhere near as crazy. I don't think it's anywhere near as mentally deficient as saying 9/11 was an inside job. But I don't think Alex Jones believes that it was an inside job.
Yeah, see, that's where you're wrong. Yes, he does.
How do you know?
Well, he says he does.
Really? He says he does. Well, how about that? He says he does.
So you're saying right here on the national radio that Alex Jones is lying?
It's not, I don't call it lying, man. I call it showmanship. I call it standing there and saying, hey, friends and neighbors, what do you think? You really? Okay, yeah, me too. I call it a guy rallying a bunch of clowns to buy some books, to buy some CDs, to, he's ginning up a particular point of view because it's good for business, man. And you know what? It's entertaining. You know.
Well, it's not entertaining if you feel that he is doing damage.
I don't think, I just don't see it. I think more and more and more, the 9/11 truth people have been so marginalized. I mean, they're so, you know, he's not even really leaning on that anymore. I mean, he's, here's a story that I was actually going to get into here, and I'm just running my mouth. The White House came to Piers Morgan's defense on Wednesday against critics of the CNN host's anti-gun views. The gun control debate in the U.S. has found a strange focus in the CNN presenter and British citizen Piers Morgan, whose aggressive calls for increased gun control in the wake of the Newton shootings inspired the creation of a White House petition to deport him. The petition received the 26,000 signatures needed to receive a response from the White House and currently has more than 100,000 in support. The White House press secretary, Jay Carney, duly appended an official response on Wednesday with the title, "When discussing the Second Amendment, keep the First in mind, too." Good point. Let's not let arguments over the Constitution's Second Amendment violate the spirit of the First. President Obama believes the Second Amendment guarantees an individual right to bear arms. However, the Constitution not only guarantees an individual's right to bear arms, but also enshrines the freedom of speech and the freedom of the press, fundamental principles that are essential to our democracy. Alex Jones, the radio show host and noted conspiracy theorist who supports the petition, appeared on Morgan's CNN show Monday night. The fiery confrontation went viral with Jones warning of a new American revolution. 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. Now, that's an example, I think, of
So, you're, now hold on. You're saying that he doesn't believe that.
No, I didn't say that, did I? I didn't say that, did I?
Yes, you did. You said that he thinks it's baloney and other stuff that he
said. Well, you said most of it.
There you go. Thank you, Robert, for paying attention. I said most of it.
Well, isn't it convenient that now he said something, See, what happens when I get excited, I start talking like Robert. And not Robert, not you, Robert.
You talking about me because I'm black?
No, like Bud, I meant to say.
What?
I talk like an imbecile.
Well, Margaret, I mean, you know. I could say that happens most of the time.
Go to hell.
Where are you going?
Where do you think?
Going to the toilet.
That's right.
Hey, Margaret, that's kind of a really rude thing to say.
Well, you did kind of put her down.
Oh, come on. All right, Alex Jones said that. You know, he's probably not far off there. Now, please understand, I'm not saying, you know, Americans are insane and we're going to overthrow the government. But the Bill of Rights, which is the Bill of Rights, if you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, those are the first 10 amendments to the Constitution of the United States of America. They were enshrined. They became amendments. They were ratified by the colonies or the new American states shortly after the adoption of the Constitution. They were the first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights, guaranteeing basic rights from freedom of the press, freedom of speech, search and seizure, the quartering of a military, in other words, being forced to open your home to government entities, government employees, the guarantee of property, my God, you know, I'm sorry, I don't know them by heart, but, you know, this is a very, very sacred part of the Constitution. There's not one of those amendments since the birth of this country that has ever been repealed. Not one.
What about prohibition?
That's not the Bill of Rights, you jackass.
Yeah, we are.
All right, take it easy. Take it easy. Prohibition's not the Bill of Rights, bud.
Yeah, it is. The right... Well...
May I... I've got to come back from the toilet. I can't. The right to drink is not a... I'm going back to the toilet.
God! But that's not one of the Bill of Rights, okay? Yes, that was repealed. You're absolutely right. It's not the Bill of Rights. The First 10 Amendments, never have they been repealed. To repeal one of those amendments, you're talking about repealing an amendment that has been with us since the birth of the country, that is rooted in an extremely powerful period. That was the American Revolution, when the arms that the individual was able to bear assisted in the freeing of this country, or if you will, the separation of this country from the British. If it were not for, and this is why they talk about militia, if it were not for the privately armed militia members, these were militia members, yes, but they were brought together because they had guns already.
You're copying the way I say things.
Sorry. If you were not in the bathroom, you could say it.
All right. I'm back.
Great. So, in other words, Alex Jones is probably not far off. I don't like the way he puts things, a new American Revolution. For things to get that bad in this guy, and I agree, for things to get that far in this country where we actually repeal the Second Amendment, we would be on the verge of some kind of I think, catastrophic societal change. I hate to put it that way.
You're saying that if we took a democratic step in repealing the Second Amendment, there would be a revolution.
Well, all right, let me put it this way. If the American people were so moved that they wanted to repeal the Second Amendment, that takes two-thirds or three-quarters, I believe, of the states, the United States, three-quarters of the legislatures in the United States of America have to vote in favor of the amendment for it to take effect, for it to be a part of the U.S. Constitution. And the repealing of an amendment is the same. I think it's even an amendment. I think it's like, you know, what's the such and such amendment? That was the repealing of the Second Amendment. That would be you're right. There would have to be a lot of support for it, popular support. If America ever got to the point where it popularly supported an amendment to repeal, then I suppose Alex Jones is wrong.
Yeah, but a lot of people, even a minority, could get the gun.
That's right.
Well, a minority of people with guns trying to oppose the majority opinion. Understand what we're talking about now here. If the Second Amendment was repealed, man, it would be only because... Well, we got to take a break, so...
Only because why?
Because we're taking a break, and then I'll talk about it later.
You can't just leave me hanging like that.
Oh, grow up.
Margaret, you're one to talk. I'm sorry, I have to go to the bathroom.
I'll go and use the toilet when... Oh, my God. So you want me to urinate right here on the floor?
No, I don't, but it's very convenient. We'll be right back, Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Very convenient.
Phil Hendry Show.
All of a sudden, you got to go use the bathroom when I'm beating you in an argument. All right, so anyway, welcome back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So, you know, Piers Morgan and Alex Jones, they can jaw-jack it all they want. The point that I'm trying to make is Alex Jones is like my hero because he's fantastic. I mean, and that's what I should have done with my career.
You should have been a nut, is what you're saying.
No, well, a rich nut. Yeah, yeah. You know, here I am going for the art and all of that jazz. This cat, he knows where it's at. Alex Jones is a guy that distilled radio, and there always are. The guys that distill down the radio business beautifully are guys like Alex Jones, guys like, I don't know, anybody that knows what radio is all about. It's just that it's about, you are more a party MC than you are an actor or entertainer performer. When you're on the radio, you're more like a guy that is emceeing a game show than you are a dude that's, you know, doing any kind of theater. Alex Jones gets that. Phil Hendry, he don't. However, you know, I do what I do. Now, so we talk about the Second Amendment, right?
Yeah, well, you're saying that Alex Jones is wrong.
Well, he may. I don't think that, you know, look, I think that Americans right now hold on to their guns and hold on to gun rights in a very primal way, and that the Second Amendment will never be repealed. And so in that sense, yeah, if there was some power that suddenly landed in the United States and said, we're taking your guns away in today's terms, in 2013 terms, there would be a revolution, because that's not where the American people are. Yeah, there's talk of gun control, but it is not a mass, it does not have mass support. It certainly doesn't have the support it would take, the support it would need to repeal the Second Amendment. Ain't gonna happen. Now, there's people out there, especially some of the more paranoid types, who think, well, yeah, but they can pass laws and gradually, slowly but surely, they take our rights away. No, they don't gradually, slowly. You know, these people with this gradually, slowly but surely, I just love it, because they can't really tell you where gradually, slowly but surely your rights have been taken away. They will tell you that they see something that could turn into something else that may someday turn into this and then eventually turn into that. And then maybe someday, way down the road when they're dead and buried, something really bad will happen. Now, here's where it's at when it comes to amendments. The Congress, whatever two-thirds of both the House of both houses, meaning the Senate and the House of Representatives, shall deem it necessary, shall propose amendments to this Constitution or on the application of the legislatures of two-thirds of the several states, shall call a convention for proposing amendments, which in either case shall be valid to all intents and purposes as part of this Constitution when ratified by the legislatures of three-quarters of the several states. All right?
No.
All right. Well, basically what it means is this. The Congress can bring up an amendment, or I believe it just said two-thirds of the several states can bring up an amendment. So if the amendment originates with the American people, it has to originate with at least the vote of two-thirds of the legislatures of the United States of America. So if out there in America somebody said, I want an amendment that will repeal the Second Amendment.
So they have to go out and go to all the states?
Well, they would have to make it a wide, a big, broad-reaching effort. Yeah, they would have to convince the American people in general, to the point where the American people go to their state legislatures and say, we want to vote on this. You know, we think this is worthy of a vote. I want to vote against it. I want to vote for it. And if they get two-thirds of the U.S. legislatures to say, yes, we want an amendment to repeal the Second Amendment, now it goes to the Congress of the United States. And then two-thirds of both the Senate and the House of Representatives have to support it, and then it becomes an amendment. Now, some people may be sitting there right now listening to what I just said, because a lot of people, and I'm not trying to be a smartass, folks, this is true, a lot of people, they don't know what the U.S., they don't know what amendments are. They think that if you vote on something, then that's just where, you know, and if it's unconstitutional, it's unconstitutional. See, sometimes you can't vote for things that are unconstitutional, but I know that.
Well, don't be so condescending, Phil, because there are a lot of people that feel that we should be able to vote and have the guns taken away. I'm one of them.
Well, then you don't understand the Constitution.
Well, yes, I do, and that's where I don't think you do.
What are you talking about?
Don't look at me and say, what are you talking about, and look me up and down. You know something, Bud? I'm not a piece of flank steak, all right?
I didn't look you up and down.
What are you talking about, Margaret?
What are you talking about? We don't want guns. I think it's very, very clear to you, Phil, that I'm anti-gun all the way. 100%.
Yes.
All right. Then why can't the American people vote and say, we don't want the guns, we don't want the guns?
Yeah, you can't do that, though, according to Mr. Henry.
You can't just do that.
Oh, according to you? Are you, what are you, King Phil?
No, I just got done telling you what the Constitution says.
I don't care what the Constitution says. I think it's time the American people take a vote.
Oh, you don't care what the Constitution... Margaret, Don't be dumb, okay?
Excuse me, I'm not being dumb. The American people want to vote on this.
The American people are going to vote on it according to the United States Constitution. If they don't want to do it according to the United States Constitution, then they have to amend the United States Constitution to change the rules so they can just vote on it whatever they want. But they still have to amend it.
Oh, my ass.
Oh, that's very ladylike.
Well, you forced me into it. My bare ass. There, you happy? You forced me into that.
She's going to start to cry.
Yes, I am.
Oh, well, Margaret, you starting to bawl is not going to forgive what you just said to me.
Oh, are you all offended? I'll say it again. My bare rear end.
You wish.
Phil Henry.
What's that mean, I wish?
You wish you could peel that girdle up.
What is it?
Got a lot of people calling up and everything.
All right, let me go to the phone calls here. We got people complaining about something. Dave, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Dave, how you doing?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, I'm doing good. I wanted to, first of all, say I love your program. Listen to it every night. I was talking to Bud Dickman, who answered the phone on your show, and I just said to him, what's up with what you're doing tonight? Because you said you was not going to do.
You said you weren't going to talk about politics.
Well, okay, yeah, you're right. Not talk about politics?
Well, you said you were not going to, news talk. And this sounds like, you just do news talk and everything.
You're right. I did say that. I think what I was trying to say, Dave, was that I didn't want to talk about, just for just conversation's sake, turn this into a news talk show. You got to do the headlines, because the headlines 90% of the time mean nothing. It's not news. This is interesting to me from the standpoint of the Constitution.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, it sounds like, you're doing like gun talk and everything. Like you said you was not going to do it. I mean, I thought I tuned in because I heard that you was going to talk about Rosie O'Donnell, and that she's having a baby or something.
Yeah, I told people to call back because they want to know about Rosie O'Donnell having a baby.
Rosie O'Donnell is not having a baby.
Well, that's what Dickman said, so...
Yes, she is.
Wait, are you doing a talk show?
Well, hold on, Mr. Henry?
Yeah.
I just want to say something because I didn't want to get in, Bud Dickman in trouble or anything, but I called up, and I said to Bud Dickman, hey, is Mr. Henry going to talk about politics or news talk? He goes, no, but I see what you're talking about. And I said, well, what? He says, because it sounds like he's talking about news talk he's talking about gun control,
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. And he said, well, stick around because coming up later in the show, we're going to be talking about Rosie O'Donnell and she had a baby. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, Mr. Henry?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he goes, yeah, it says here that Rosie O'Donnell... And then he went into the fact that...
Hold on for just a second here. Hold on.
Hold
on. What are you doing, man? Your own talk show?
Well, yeah. I mean, no. If the people are called up and they want to have a talk show, then we,
Bud is just giving them a talk... If they don't like what you're doing, Bud is a fallback talk show.
Oh, you're a fallback talk show. Well...
Now, come on, Phil. Hey, Mr. Henry,
hold on, I'm not talking to you, Robert. So you're having yourself a little talk show over there. Is that what you're doing?
Well, Mr. Henry, this is Dave.
Yeah.
It was more interesting than what you were doing, that's all.
Yeah, that's what they said. They want to talk about Rosie O'Donnell had a kid. And it's more interesting than talk about a gun.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, well, is that right? Good night.
Phil, where are you going?
I'm getting up. I'm leaving. Isn't that what you do?
Oh, don't be a big baby about it and everything like that.
Who are you calling a baby?
You hung up on that caller, too. That guy's going to double piss, man, because he sounds like he's a Mexican. And
will you shut up about that? Who are you calling a baby?
Well, you're being all baby-like.
Phil, don't be baby-ish, because...
This guy here... according to that caller, is doing his own talk show, because when people don't dig what I'm talking about, they can call up on the Bud Dickman show over here.
It is a fallback. It's a de facto talk show. In other words, we give them a choice.
You know, you're saying you're in support of... Are you answering somebody's calls, too?
Sometimes I do pass more on Margaret.
Yes.
Okay, so how many talk shows have we got going here at once?
We have two. If they don't like what Bud's saying, then I take the call, and we get it said. We kick it around.
God, don't be looking all like somebody just kicked you in the ball area. You know, you watch your language, okay?
Well, you do, man. You look like someone just hit the Royal American.
You know, you guys are really free with the language, and I don't like that. Number one, I'm the only guy doing a talk show around here. If people don't like it, then they can listen to another show. If they call up and they say, hey, Bud, what are you doing anyway?
They'll call up and go, yeah, I don't like what Phil's talking about. So I said, do you hear about Rosie O'Donnell had a baby? And I go, no. I go, yeah. My opinion on that, you know, about lesbians having babies, and then we just have a discussion.
Yes, and if they don't like that, then he kicks it over to me, and I talk about entertainment news.
So while I'm sitting here breaking my ass, you guys are taking the phone calls and talking to people, and this guy Dave. How did Dave get on the air?
Well, he wanted to talk about how he didn't want to talk about it.
Yes, he wanted to talk to you about how he didn't want to talk about what you were talking about.
Well, why didn't he just talk to Bud?
Well, he didn't want to talk about what Bud wanted to talk about. When I talked to him, he was a little vulgar, and so I kicked it back to Bud, and that's when Bud made the decision to go ahead and just throw him back.
Whoa. Now I'm really pissed.
What are you getting pissed at?
What do you mean, throw him back?
Have you ever gone fishing?
Yes, I've gone fishing, and you throw back the fish you don't want.
Yeah, bingo.
So, in other words, giving the caller to me means you just threw him back.
Phil, you're being a child. We're simply trying to have a successful... We are looking to make this show a success.
Really? And so what you're doing is you're taking the calls off the air, and if they don't want to talk about what Bud's talking about, and they don't want to talk about what you're talking about, well, then you throw the caller back into the pond, meaning you give him back to me.
Yeah.
So that's what Mr. Oliva was, a fish that wasn't good enough for your shows.
Now, hold on. Here's what comes next, Bud. And Robert, are you listening?
Yeah.
Here's what comes next.
Okay, you know, I tried to get you guys involved in this show.
Oh, don't make it sound like a big deal.
Really, Phil?
No. I try to get you guys involved in this show, and you use it as an opportunity to make me look like a horse's ass backing out of a stable. Fine.
Well, a horse's ass backing out of a stable is going to look the same as a horse's ass.
Yeah, I try to tell him that.
Yeah.
Oh, do you try to tell... Quit talking about me like I ain't here, you understand? All right, where's this Rosie O'Donnell story?
Finally, you're doing here.
Yeah, here's the one here.
Is that the one I showed you?
Well, this one here.
Hey, Bud. Bud!
Yeah?
Where's the news story?
In front of your face?
Yeah, could you take it away from my face? Because I can't see the microphone.
Oh.
Thank you. Comedian and chat show host Rosie O'Donnell announced the birth of a daughter, Dakota, on Wednesday, her first child with second wife, Michelle Rounds. O'Donnell, who had strapped on a penis. I'm kidding.
Oh, my God. You better apologize for that right now.
I'm not apologizing. I'm kidding. I'm not...
You apologize for... Do you understand that I have lunch with these people?
Margaret, I'm not all right, I'm sorry, Ms. O'Donnell.
Better. You know, Philly, there's certain people you can't mess around with.
You know, what are you guys turning into program directors here or something? You, shut up. You, just don't bug me, okay?
I have lunch with Rosie O'Donnell at least once a month. And I don't want to sit down with her over a Cobb salad.
Yeah?
I don't want to sit down with her over a Cobb salad.
I don't understand.
That's what she orders when she's angry at me. If I see a Cobb salad, that is her message to me. She's sending a very clear message.
Okay, I don't...
You don't get it, do you?
No, I don't, Mr. Program Director Dickman. Please help me, okay?
The Cobb, she's basically saying that Margaret is going to get one wedged up.
Yeah, that's what a Cobb salad means.
Are you telling me that this is something I'm supposed to know?
Well, figure it out, Phil.
Yeah, figure it out.
Bud, I've had enough of you. Shut up.
Well, shut...
Phil, if she's ordering a Cobb salad and she's angry...
Wait a minute, wait. Hold the phone. If she's ordering a Cobb salad, therefore she's angry, not and she's angry.
Well, what did I say?
You're saying that you have to know she's angry as well as the fact she's ordering a...
You better get him. Get a drink into him because he's getting hysterical.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't need a drink, and I don't need to hear from you either. Both of you people are nuts. You both need a psychiatrist. Rosie O'Donnell sitting down and having a Cobb salad with you at lunch. I don't see where any human being on earth is supposed to understand that means that she's pissed at you because a Cobb means a Cobb wedged. Because she's got a...
No, because I'm going to get one wedged if I don't retract what you said. And I didn't even say it.
And how do you do that?
Over lunch.
And how do you retract what you said over lunch?
Well, have you heard of I'm sorry? So I've got to pick up the tab. I've got to get something other than a Cobb, which is, generally means I've got to order a meat dish, which sends the message that I'm getting an anti-Cobb entree. And yes, I pick up the tab.
It's pretty basic. What the basic Hollywood language.
You know what? You know, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind.
Phil.
No. Don't fill me. You're out of your mind. You must need a doctor. I'm saying that right now. You said my bare ass. Well, I'm saying you need a doctor.
Just because you don't speak the language.
No, it doesn't have anything to do with me speaking the language. I don't think you live in the real world. Rosie O'Donnell orders a Cobb salad. That means she's pissed at you for something that she heard you say or write. So in order for you to say that you're sorry, you've got to buy something anti-Cobb, which is a meat entree. Why not just say to her, Rosie, I see that you've bought the Cobb salad. I imagine that you're angry at me. I'm sorry.
She would be doubly insulted by that because then I'm calling her an imbecile.
How are you calling her an imbecile?
Because she's sitting there with a Cobb, and so I say that you have a Cobb salad. It's going to sound sarcastic. She's going to think that I'm trying to provoke her into a fight. And if you know Rosie O'Donnell, that means there's going to be a fight. And between her and me, I lose every time. Believe me. And it is a knockdown dragout. Crockery is broken. Tables are broken. Chairs are broken. And I lose. And what's so funny?
Well, that's a hell of a fight, Margaret.
That does sound like a fight.
That's a hell of a fight. I mean, I'd have to say, if you lose that fight, I would say it was a toss-up to begin with.
Well, you know I'm not going to go down just... I'm not going down quiet. You know that.
No, I don't know. I've never seen you fight. But if you're telling me that a fight between you and Rosie O'Donnell is A, she's going to win it, and B, stuff's going to get destroyed, man, I'd love to watch a fight like that.
I would.
Get a ringside seat on a fight like that.
But could you say that a little louder? I didn't hear you.
Say, get a ringside seat on a fight like that.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Don't you know she's being a smartass? All right, we'll be right back with the close of this phenomenal, ridiculous, whatever this thing is that we've been doing tonight. Just remember, if you sit down and have lunch with Rosie O'Donnell and she orders a Cobb salad, that means she wants to wedge one. So you better apologize by having yourself a hamburger. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
All right, I'm Phil Henry.
Hey, welcome back to the world famous Phil. Hey, how come they changed that bumper to the Phil Henry Show? Why'd they change that? It used to say the world famous Phil Henry Show. They don't like saying that anymore, huh? Somebody upstairs made an executive decision to change the bumpers on the show. We're going to change them back. I don't like that.
Well, my understanding is that they made the executive decision.
Well, nobody told me they're making any executive decisions around here. We have a bumper that says world famous Phil Henry Show. Somebody made an executive decision without telling me. And guess what? As a result of that, we're changing it back. Dan? I asked you to change the world famous Phil Henry Show bumper? Never mind.
What an idiot. Never mind, Dan. I've got it. You are a real piece of work.
I forgot.
You forgot you even told Dan to do it now. Like a total... What a jackball and everything.
You done?
Not really. I've got a few more items I'd like to say. First of all...
Well, no, you're done.
Well, you had it coming.
Well, that is true, bud. Go ahead.
Yeah. Number one, you tell Dan, I want to get rid of world famous. Then he do. And then, when he do, you go, who did it? And he said, you did it. And like a guy that caught a bad fart, you don't even want to admit to it.
Very well said, buddy.
Good.
That's about the... Yeah, that was very eloquent. That, man, I feel put down.
I thought it was very good.
Just like a guy to cut one in an elevator, everyone's looking at you, but you don't even want to say nothing. Man, I feel bad about it. Feel real bad.
Yeah, bud, you're right. I was the guy that said change those bumpers, and Dan did, and then they were changed, and now I'm saying who made the decision. I want to talk to that guy, and the only guy to talk to is the guy in the mirror. The guy in the mirror.
Yeah, just like Lil Wayne said. I'm looking at the man in the mirror.
That's not Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne is the one that goes, mirror on the wall. Yes, that's it. One, two. Phil, do you know this song?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite songs.
All right. But it's not Lil Wayne. It's Bruno Mars. See, that's what everyone says. They go, oh, I love Lil Wayne. It's not. It's Bruno Mars. You know Bruno Mars? He's the one that conked his hair.
Never mind about him conking his hair. What about it?
Excuse me, but he conked his hair.
All right, so he conked his hair.
What's that mean? Then he straightened it out like a white man.
He's a classic look. It's a James Brown look, okay? Don't give me this makes it look like a white man.
Well, that's what it is.
Not with Bruno Mars. Number one, Bruno Mars may be black and he may be Hispanic. How about that? How's that feel, huh?
That guy's a black man. Don't tell me he's Hispanic.
All right. But he didn't conk his hair so he can pass for a white guy. He conked his hair because it's a classic rock and roll look from the 50s and 60s. And a lot of black artists, you know, Little Richard, freaking James Brown.
Yes, but they had to conk their hair so they could pass as white.
James Brown passes white? Ha 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 ha, you nuts.
Easy, bud. It was a look. That pompadour was a look. So a lot of black artists and white artists, you know. I mean, I was born with curly freaking hair, man. I'd have to get my hair straightened to put it into a freaking processed pompadour like that. Or I'd have to cut it real short. So Bruno Mars, that's what he did.
Phil, you're giving us the big sociological lesson. Thank you very much. Hey, thank you. Now, may I continue?
Yes, go ahead.
You're right, Phil, when you take responsibility for ordering those bumpers to be changed... And then saying who did it, and then you realize you did, so you feel like the big fat back end of a horse, don't you?
Yes.
All right. And you even said, when you look in the mirror, that's the man you have to blame.
Yeah, and that's when a little Wayne.
Will you take it easy, bud?
I understand, bud. And it goes something like this. 2, 3, and a 1, 2, 3, 2, 3. Okay, heel toe, heel toe. And now, mirror on the wall, here we are again. Do, 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 you are my only friend. Mirror on the wall, yeah, I'm Little Wayne, and my father is a real, you know, douche. Something, 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 and then mirror on the wall, it goes like that.
Well, that was great, Margaret. You know, you ought to do a whole album of that, you know.
Don't be sarcastic, Phil. I'm giving you just a taste of it.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, you know, here's Lil Wayne. My dad's a douchebag. You know, it's almost like you don't even respect the music that you're singing.
That is not true. I love that song.
It's a great song, so why don't you sing it right?
Yeah, I'll sing it right. I bet they got lyrics and everything.
Wait, hold on for a minute. What did you just say?
I said you ought to sing it right, but they'll do it.
This is what it sounded like to me, Robert, and I know you come from not only the planet Earth, but I also know you come from America. But this is what it sounded like.
Yeah, and that's what it sounds like when you talk. In fact, here's what it sounds like when you sing.
That's fantastic.
both of you can, I hope they reintroduce slavery. Goodbye.
Whoa!
Hey! No, I'm going to the bathroom. Don't follow me in.
Hey! Man, you hear what she said?
Hey, look at Robert. Get in line, okay, man? She's insulting everybody around here.
They introduced slavery. Hey, whose side are you on, man? A minute ago, you thought what I said was funny.
It was. It was very funny.
No, it was not.
Yes, it was, Margaret. If you're going to the bathroom, be in the bathroom. God, what is going on with this show?
He's coming in here saying, because I got off a cutie, she says that she hopes they reintroduce slavery. That means they'd have to amend the Constitution, right?
Yes.
And didn't you just say that American people would have to be supportive of that?
Yes. There's no way the American people will ever bring back slavery, Robert. Don't worry about that.
What about a gun control?
Right now, the American people are not interested in amending the Constitution on gun control. That ain't going to happen. Now, it's possible that gun control eventually will be introduced at a constitutional level, but that, I believe, will not happen for quite possibly, I mean, if it takes decades, you'll think that at that point we'll have solved the problem some other way. So I don't think it'll ever happen. All right? World-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. And, of course, we are online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Join us with a backstage pass. You can, you can get all of the thousands and thousands of hours of great radio that we have online in our archives at philhendryshow.com. Until then, this is... Hey, what happened to... never mind. I'm doing the end of the show, folks, because I just had a brain fart, you know?
Phil. That figures.
We'll be right back.